For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a safe and a very enjoyable 4th of July holiday. Yes, sir, our country is getting ready to celebrate its independence on July 4th, that is this coming Tuesday, as this goes back to 1776. And to start us off, before we get into the sermon this morning, let me read from the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That has a wonderful ring to it, does it not? Yes, it does, and hopefully our young people are learning this in school. It used to be that the course American History was required. It was when I was in school. I don't know about today, but I hope that it is. As by living in a free country, we are enjoying religious freedom. And where we can work, we're not limited. We can move about freely, and we can vote. It's a great privilege. We should be taking advantage of that. As nowadays, there are some school choices, I guess, still. As we were growing up, that was important. Now, we're going to talk about this morning a much greater freedom. That is without question. Freedom from the bondage of sin is the greatest freedom that one can have. There is no greater. Notice with me now Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So let us make a comparison this morning between our physical and our spiritual freedom. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. As we know, that stands for preparing for eternity, and that's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As we come together in our Bible classes, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. And I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions, please send those to us. Again, your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. And our address, let's give that again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study this morning as we're making a comparison between our physical and spiritual freedom. So question number one, What does our freedom cost? Starting with our physical freedom, many people were killed in the Revolutionary War, and of course the wars that would follow, and there's been a number of them, sad to say. Well, it costs lives to gain independence, and it costs lives to keep it. I went to Vietnam in 1969, and I can tell you, as a Navy corpsman attached to the Marine Corps, I witnessed death. And as I went to Washington years later and went to the memorial for the Vietnam veterans that gave their all, the wall there with all the names. At first, I didn't think that was much of a memorial, but when I began to read names on the wall of my buddies, it meant something. I'll guarantee it did. Well, the point is, our physical freedom has cost many lives, has it not? And to keep it as well. But now, as we go to the spiritual aspect of our comparison, for us to have freedom for our salvation, we must be free from the burden of our sins. And it cost God the Father His only begotten Son. In John 3:16, a verse we all should know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The greatest price ever to have been paid is that of the blood of Christ for our salvation. As Christians are justified by the blood of Christ and thus saved from the wrath of God, in Romans 5, verse 9, notice, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's right. He died for you and He died for me. All of us who are of the age of accountability have sinned against God, Romans 3:23. And we need to be bought back. Redeemed, in other words. And redemption is only through the blood of Christ, as you see in Ephesians 1:7. So we must be in Christ, and that would be in His body, the true church, the church of Christ, in order to have salvation, to have redemption through His precious blood, which purchased the church, Acts 20:28. Now, let's go on to question number two as we're making the comparison between our physical and spiritual freedom. Does our freedom mean that we're not under law? Well, starting out with our physical freedom, yes, we live in a free country. We're losing freedoms, unfortunately, but we're still in a free country, we could say. But we're still under the laws of the land. Federal, state, county, city, laws and ordinances. We're under those, are we not? Well, we need to know that. Countries without freedom cannot worship freely, travel freely, and vote, and many are told what jobs they must have. So even though we enjoy these freedoms, we must obey the laws of the land, or we're going to answer to those in authority. So, to turn that now, as we compare the spiritual freedom we enjoy in Christ, how sad it is that so many religious folks believe that Christians are not under grace, but, well, let me start over. These religious people I'm talking about are thinking that Christians, in quotations, are under grace but not under law. In other words, they believe in grace only. And what they do is misuse Romans 6:15, which reads as follows, "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law?" That's what they're using there. "But under grace." God forbid. Well, what's the context here? This is referring to the law of Moses. No, we're not under that law. It was nailed to the cross. You can see, turn one chapter over, chapter 7. Paul is dealing with, we can't be under two laws, as he started out with the example of a woman cannot have two husbands, she'd be an adulteress. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." In other words, you can't be under two laws here, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. It's the law of Christ. Notice verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law." Which law? The law of Moses. Notice, "For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." That's one of the Ten Commandments. You see, that's the law of Moses. That's taken away, nailed to the cross. So let's notice that the Bible does not teach this heresy of grace only, but it says that we're under law. Which law? The law of Christ, of course. Let's go another chapter over from chapter 7, Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Well, there is a law I'm under then, and you're under it as well if you're accountable unto God. Philippians 3:16, let's notice. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule." What does that mean? The same rule, the same standard, the same law. "Let us mind the same thing." Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's as plain as it can be said. We're under the law of Christ, so let's fulfill it and do what we're supposed to do, bearing one another's burdens, for example. James 1:25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That's right, blessed in his deed. But we're under the perfect law of liberty. James 2:12, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." We need to understand we're under the law of Christ, which is the perfect law of liberty. Now, here's something to point out. If we are not under law, as so many religious people would say, then this would be the result. There would be no sin, because sin is transgression of God's law. So if you do away with law altogether, you do away with sin, and that's not going to work, is it? Go with me to 1 John 3:4. We'll prove this. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That's the very definition of sin. Now, we would be a liar if we said we have no sin, would we not? Well, yes, we would. If you go to 1 John 1:8-10, if we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We're lying. Study that passage. But let us go on. Now let's ask question number 3. As again, we're comparing our physical freedom and our spiritual freedom. have we taken our freedom for granted, starting with our physical freedom? This country has been strong for a few hundred years, but it's losing strength fast, is it not? With the moral decay, the family structure is deteriorating, and there's a number of indications that this is the case. Just watch the news. But something to think about. What is lacking as we no longer are singing, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty"? Have you heard that lately? Are we sending our kids to school to start out with a Bible reading? No, they're not hearing that anymore. But they sure are being taught what? That you can change your sex, your gender, and you're just an evolved mass of tissue. Evolution is true. We're teaching this as fact. There's not one fact. That's a lie. Well, again, we're seeing, I'm just giving some examples of how our country is losing strength. And part of the problem is people have taken for granted that this country will always be strong. No, it won't. Look at the history of the Roman Empire. Boy, was it strong. But as Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that fourth great empire would be iron, yes, but mixed with clay. And that would weaken it. And it fell. And as they persecuted Christians, that was the main reason, because they fell, was it not? So, let's not take for granted that this country will always be strong. It's good to go to some other countries. Well, like China, because it helps us to better appreciate our freedom, does it not? But now let's turn our attention to the spiritual aspect of our comparison. What about taking our salvation for granted? Many seem to think that after obeying the gospel, they will have salvation whether they are faithful or not. Well, that's not going to work, is it? 2 Peter 2:19 and 20, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Notice that. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And it's like that proverb, the true proverb, the dog going back to the vomit and eating it. The washed pig goes back to the mire. You know, that's someone that has left the truth, goes back into sin. So, let's not take our salvation for granted. There's warning after warning in the scriptures. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And many others like it. Well, we don't want to become like the brethren at the Laodicean Church of Christ. Revelation 3:15 through 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, the Lord said to them. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's right. Yes, we have freedom in Christ, but let us not take our freedom for granted. But Galatians 5:1 tells us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the sins that we were washed clean of as we were baptized into Christ. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1, you have the Christian graces. And we must add to our faith these Christian graces, because notice in verse 9 of 2 Peter 1, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Well, one final question before we conclude our study. How do we attain and maintain our liberty in Christ? Well, let's notice what Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what then is truth? Well, it's the word. Thy word is truth, as Jesus prayed in John 17:17. The truth is in Jesus, and we must be in his word, as Jesus said in that verse 32 there. Yes, 31 and 32 is what we were quoting there, John 8. So let's be sure that we continue in his word. Now, Psalm 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. That's right. Verse 151, still in Psalm 119, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Exactly. So we must obey from the heart that form of doctrine, Romans 6:17, as we read earlier. That form of doctrine which was delivered you, this is the doctrine of Christ. It's not faith only salvation. It's not works of merit, of course. Ephesians 2:8-9 deal with that. But it's works of righteousness, verse 10 of Ephesians 2. James 2:24, we are saved by works that are righteous works, not by faith alone. Not by faith only. That's not going to work. So liberty in Christ is maintained by living faithfully as a follower of Christ. So to obtain liberty, we first have to obey the gospel, that form of doctrine. Now, to maintain it, we need to live faithfully as a true follower of Christ, even if it meant dying. If necessary, we'll have the victory. Revelation 2:10, Jesus promised this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of righteousness. That's right. Now, some teach that, as we mentioned, that once a person is saved, they could not be lost, no matter what they do, no matter how much they've sinned. And we've seen that's not true, but notice Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's not going to work, is it? We must walk in the light as he is in the light. Notice the word if in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. That's what we need to hold on to as Christians, understanding that fellowship is made possible by the blood of Christ. And as long as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we're going to continue that cleansing with the blood of Christ and having fellowship one with another. So as we close out our study this morning, for us to have freedom from our sins, it costs the blood of Jesus the Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, the greatest price ever paid. What does that mean to us? What does our life say? How much it means to us? You know, whether we obey the gospel or not, we're going to be judged by the word, the words that Jesus has spoken, John 12:48. We can't get around that. And as we've seen in a comparison of physical freedoms and of course our freedom in Christ from our sins, that terrible burden that we were carrying until our Lord and Savior took it off of us as we were obedient to His gospel. All freedoms and liberties will terminate at death. That's right. But one, the liberty in the Lord, extends throughout eternity. Let us not take it for granted. So are we free from our sins? Well, if we haven't obeyed the gospel, we're not. And we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ, as we must hear the truth. This is how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for our sins, John 8:24. And we must repent, making a change of wills and doing the will of God the Father. That's difficult, isn't it? Well, it's not impossible, of course not, or God wouldn't have told us to do it. Once we give up our will and turn to do the will of God, we're going to have the best life possible as we obey the gospel. That's right. It shouldn't be that difficult once we understand that. But people want to hold on to those sinful activities. But they're harmful. Give them up. Do the will of God, all of us. And once we repent, of course, Luke 13:3-5 tells us that, our Lord Himself, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet. We're stating that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. Once we make the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave, where we're going to contact the precious blood of Christ. As you see in Romans 6, same chapter we were in earlier, notice verses 3 through 5, we're baptized into the death of Christ. And that's when He shed His blood in His death, John 19:33-34. It's for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. And then the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to be faithful unto death. We thank You so much for listening today.